Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Tuesday, May 23rd, 2017. With me today, I have Brian Chaffin. How are you, Brian?
I'm good. Thanks for having us.
I'm so glad you're here. Dave Hamilton, I'm really glad you are here, too.
I agree with you.
Yeah, it's of course you do. Because when I'm happy, everyone's happy, right?
I agree with you.
I'm going to tell myself that because sometimes it's all I've got. Yeah. Anyhow, hey, we might as well just jump into the stuff that I want to talk about. And the first thing I want to talk about is IKEA. And at risk of offending people, I am totally aware that IKEA is like a mecca for college students and divorced men. And I say this from experience. And the thing is, it's about being able to pick stuff up at a reasonable price and then, I guess, drinking heavily while you put it together. I'm taking myself down a rabbit hole here.
No, I built an IKEA-esque piece of furniture this morning, and I agree with everything you said.
Yeah, well, thank you, because it's so true. Anyhow, IKEA is getting into HomeKit. And more than just HomeKit, also Alexa Skills and Google Home. But the thing is, they're getting into HomeKit, and they're doing it at an affordable price entry point. So the deal is, they have a what do they call it? The trod free, and I'm pretty sure you have to do the weird voice with it when you say it, trod free.
No, I agree with you on that.
It's Brian, you try it.
I'm not. I'll be in agreement with Dave.
You're no fun. Yeah. Anyhow, so it's a smart light product line that IKEA has put together. They introduced it last year. This year, it's getting updated, so it's going to have HomeKit support, Amazon Alexa skill support, and Google Home support. And this stuff is pretty inexpensive, and I'm looking at this thinking, wow, you know, if you want to get into the whole smart home thing, and you want to get into HomeKit, but you don't want to pay a fortune, this could be a really inexpensive way to do it, relatively speaking, and I think it really lowers the barrier to entry for HomeKit.
It significantly lowers the barrier to entry, and it also has this much broader footprint for exposure for this stuff, and that is important. For instance, we the three of us know, and I'm going to guess that most of our listeners know, that Elgato sells great HomeKit stuff, right?
Yes, their stuff is HomeKit exclusive. Yeah,
even better. Now, where do you get it? Well, you can get it online for sure. Mm-hmm. Where else can you get it?
Apple stores.
Great. That's fantastic. And Apple certainly has some good exposure, too. IKEA has this monstrous footprint all over the planet. And for them to sell this stuff to folks who may not even know that it exists, it's good for the HomeKit ecosystem. It's also good for the other ecosystems, but I'm personally less interested in those.
Well, but there's another angle to this is, even if you're aware of everything, right, that we talked about, except the IKEA stuff, right? But if you're aware of the Philips stuff, which is actually, I think, $10 cheaper, right, than the IKEA, right? The Philips starter one.
So the basic Philips Hue starter kit, it's two white bulbs, which is the same as the trod-free set, is $10 cheaper. Right. And let me rephrase that. They both include the hub that the smart lights need, two white dimmable bulbs. The IKEA kit also includes a remote, which is not included in the Philips kit.
Okay, so with the IKEA one, you don't need your phone. You can use your phone, but you don't need it in order to control this, because there's a remote that you can put on the table in the room.
Right. I believe you still need your phone to get everything set up, but once it's done, then you don't need the phone to actually control stuff.
Okay, so let's say my point is that, right, you can get this, and as we just said, you can get it cheaper, albeit with missing one feature that may or may not be important to you, from Philips. But what the difference is IKEA is going to sell these things in IKEA stores, and IKEA stores are where people go to spend significant amounts of money on furniture, right? This mm-hmm. isn't where you're on Amazon looking around and you're buying some $10 thing, and then you think, oh, how much is the smart bulb? Maybe today's the day. And you look and you say, oh, it's $70. I don't think so, right? Whereas at IKEA, and it's not that their stuff is overpriced or expensive, but you're buying higher ticket items just walking in the door. You're going to spend, you know, $40 on this, $150 on that, right? It's not.
It's the nature of the product.
It's the nature of the product, right? So you're in there, and you're in for a couple of $100, right? Or maybe it's way more than that when mm-hmm. you're in IKEA. So this, even at $80, which is what their starter kit is, can be, you know, in the range of an impulse like purchase, right? You're at $250 and you're like, you know, man, I've been wanting to try some bulbs like that. And you know what? $80, that's pretty cool. And wow, they have this thing. Great. Throw that in too. So I think just the mindset of the consumer to whom this is going to be exposed is the right one. And of course, to Brian's point, IKEA stores will say everywhere. I wish there was one closer to me than 2 hours away, but you know, that's sort of how it goes.
They're actually throughout the globe too.
That's what I mean. They're everywhere. Yeah. Yeah.
Now,
so
there now you go. Dave, if we compare the Trade Free Gateway starter kit, if we compare it to the Philips kit that is most comparable, which would be the, not the Hue White starter kit. That's the one that's $69,
right?
But the Hue White ambience kit, and that includes the remote.
Okay,
that's $129.95.
Yeah.
So when you go for that direct comparison, not just saying here's the base entry thing, the trod free costs way less.
Yeah.
The trade off is with both of those kits, you do not get colored bulbs. For that, you have to go back to Hue, and that's a $200 starter kit.
Right, right.
But add-on bulbs are a lot cheaper for the IKEA bulbs. They start at like $12, which is cheaper than Philips' cheapest bulb by $2 or $3, and they top out at $20, which is cheaper than the standard ambient white bulb.
You know, IKEA's entire thing was to democratize good design. Now, one can have reasonable arguments and debates about whether or not the quality of the furniture is up to snuff.
Sure.
I personally have certainly had a big hit or miss. But what IKEA has done is to bring good design to ordinary people. And I mean, to me, that to me is a significant achievement. And in this particular case, they're sort of going to be able to apply that same mentality. And that's actually, that was one of the stated purposes of the founder. It's like, you know, how can we bring these, you know, good design and make it affordable? And everything else that goes with being IKEA actually stemmed from that goal. So in this case, they're extending that, or they might be extending that to the smart home, and that's
not just
a good thing.
That mm-hmm. that's one of their goals now. They are extending that into the smart home.
And of course, we put an asterisk on good design and accept that taste is in the eye of the beholder.
Correct. Sure.
It always is.
Of course. Right.
Yeah. But okay. So the thing for me is that I'm excited that this may make smart home devices more of a mainstream thing, which means that hopefully we'll start seeing more companies doing better things with their products, and they'll become more useful to the average person, as opposed to, for many people, these are still just gimmick devices. And I'd like to see them become really useful products and democratizing that market some, maybe that'll help. We'll see.
It's good stuff, though. Yeah. And the fact that these, you know, we're talking about it from the standpoint of HomeKit because, you know, we talk about Apple, but I freaking hate HomeKit. It's been a disaster for me. It's much better for me to be with the devices that I have to use the Amazon platform with the Alexa and Echo devices and all that stuff. And this works with that. So there you go.
It does. Yep. Yeah. Dave, I've had some very similar experiences.
Right.
There are situations where I have to rely specifically on HomeKit because it will do the specific thing I need.
Sure. Yeah.
And then the rest of the time, I tend to turn to Alexa because it actually...
Because it works.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, there's more I want to talk about, like Denise Young-Smith... you probably know her name because she's been involved in Apple HR for a long time. Like, she's been in charge of it. She has a promotion. She's now the vice president of diversity and inclusion at Apple. And I'm curious what you guys think about that.
Is that actually a promotion? Being head of HR at a company like Apple, that's... HR heads of HR are one of those positions that people outside of the corporate world don't necessarily think about. But it's an incredibly powerful position. It's one of the most powerful positions at most companies.
Yeah, yeah. She was head of worldwide HR. So now, yeah.
So I think she had a VP. Title before too, and
if it wasn't, I mean, I'm assuming she didn't go from director to VP. So I would assume this is a lateral move in terms of the corporate structure. But that's, you know,
yeah. Tim Cook's, because Tim Cook is such a believer in diversity. This and it could be lateral. In general, I would say that.
Yeah, it is a lateral move. It's VP. She was VP of Worldwide Human Resources and Talent, and now is VP for Inclusion and Diversity.
But so the question is whether or not she's going to end up reporting to the new VP head of Human Resources, because that's usually how that
changes. Well, so that's the interesting thing is that. When she moves to her new role, Apple will have no head of HR. And so Luca Maestri, Apple CFO, will temporarily fill that role.
Right. As they work to fill the role.
Right. That's temporary. That's right. Yeah.
All right. So I look at this and I'm thinking, all right, this is Apple making another statement about how they want to make sure that they are as inclusive as they can be with their employees and their business, and that they have a person they think can handle the job. And so now she's taking that on.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, okay. So at Apple, I'm confused my terms before. The director level is actually below the VP level. The previous head of diversity inclusion, Jeffrey Siminoff, held that as a director role, but now that Smith is doing it, it becomes an executive level role, hence the VP label. Yeah,
this does not feel like a promotion to me.
No, I don't. I don't think it is.
No, it's a lateral thing, but I think the big thing is this is about Apple making sure that they're moving forward with one of their goals, which is to make sure that they are inclusive in their workforce, and that this is just part of that big statement.
Yeah, yeah, and you know, this stuff is important with Tim the fact that Apple is making this position a VP position instead of a director position, that says a lot.
Mm-hmm. It does.
And also moving a woman as successful and good at her job as Miss Young has always been from what the HR position.
Yes, thank you. Her last name. You got it.
Thank you. HR positions, like I said, are positions that, you know, like you, no one ever talks about the HR person outside of the company. But you know, like when companies are looking at car companies, I'm sorry, when blogs are looking at car companies, or they're looking at tech companies, we don't talk about the HR position.
That's true, and
but she's enormously powerful.
Yep, and good for her. Good for Apple. I think this is a good move for the company. Hey, there's another thing I want to talk about.
Wow, three topics.
I know that there's just all kinds of stuff that I was excited about today. Is Apple's MacBook screwed now because Huawei, they have a new laptop coming out? It seems to be what the media thinks. And what do you guys think?
Yeah, it's running Windows, so probably not.
The Mate Book is what they're calling it.
The Mate Book Huawei X.
Well, right. Yeah, the MateBook X is the one that's most comparable, but there are other MateBooks. There's the E and the D as well.
The reality is that these companies, I do believe that to a certain extent, not even a certain extent, Intel and Microsoft were both pretty intent on making the OEM world get up to snuff on design because Apple was kicking their butts. This was several years ago. And Intel had a specific fund to help with this. Microsoft was putting a lot of efforts into this. But the reality is at this point, when companies put out something that looks good, even the device that I thought looked sexy, which is the Surface Book, at this point, it's not about coming after Apple. It's about the fact that Apple has set the bar on design and changed expectations on designs, and everybody else is just playing catch up. It's still just an OEM PC. Who cares?
So do you see this like the Microsoft Studio laptop where here's how I see the new Studio laptop. And it's a device where they're just trying to, I think, show other PC makers, here's what we want you to do. And it felt very iterative off of Apple's designs. That's kind of what I'm seeing here with this computer.
Well, I mean, they want to sell stuff. They're not interested in setting. They're not setting design goals for anyone else. They want to sell products.
Yeah, no. And what I meant was, this is just another iterative device that is getting tossed out there, and now it's being compared to what Apple has on the market, because that seems to be the thing people love to do lately. It's here's another product out. That's the Apple killer.
Yeah. And people are going to continue to do that, but it's just nonsense. I mean, like it's just another OEM PC, and worse, it's an OEM PC made by a Chinese company with escalating tensions between the U.S. and China. And I personally don't want my electronics to be made by a company owned and operated in China, but you know, hey, that's just me. It's just another OEM PC. Who cares? It's great. I'm glad to see the good design is finally being brought to ordinary people. How's that?
All right. I'll accept that.
It's like IKEA.
Democratizing design.
Yeah.
Ties it all together.
Yeah. Dave, you have anything that's on your mind with this one?
No. The fact that it's got two USB-C ports on it is interesting. I mean, it's a 13-inch screen. So it really kind of is in that sweet spot there. It's got a huge battery. It's taking all of those. If you look down the spec list of it, it's like, yeah, okay, this sounds like what something Apple would make. And it certainly looks like something Apple would make. But you know, price wise, it's what, $1,500, I think, is what it's going to come in at. And it depends, right? It can be far more than that. I think it's 1,700 pounds with 8 gigs of RAM, an i7 processor, and 512 gig SSD. So, you know, that's getting close to $2,000.
No one's going to be choosing between that device and a MacBook. Very few people are going to be choosing between that. They're going to be choosing that between that and something by Dell or something by someone else.
Yeah, or maybe the Surface laptop. And honestly, Surface laptop and this, I'd go how do you pronounce it? Huawei?
I think it's Huawei.
Huawei?
I always said Huawei, but I could be wrong.
Okay. I kind of like that. Let's go Huawei.
All right.
Yeah. Anyhow, yeah, that's the way I would go. It seems like a much better choice overall than a Surface laptop, but still not as good a choice for me as a MacBook Pro.
Right. It's not like this thing's out there selling for $750. Right. That would be the thing where you would say, for my kid, could they get away with running Windows because most of what they do at school is, in Google Docs or, some other online, it's in Moodle or whatever. Okay. Maybe we can live with that. Right. But at $2,000, I'm like, no, I'll go get a refurb MacBook. Thanks. See ya.
Yeah. All right. I'm with you. So, I haven't been sold. I'm not switching platforms. I'll stick with my Mac for now.
Same.
And but Brian, he's silent. It's been great having you on the Mac platform.
Yeah, I'm switching.
Yeah.
I'm switching over to Huawei.
He was just finding a way to place his order.
All right. Well, then we should wrap up so Brian can finish that up. Dave, thank you so much for being here today.
I agree with you.
And Brian, thank you for being here as well.
I vociferously disagree with you.
I love you too. Listeners, thank you for joining us. We will see everyone again tomorrow.